So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the second canto, second chapter, entitled The Lord in the Heart, text number 37.
Pibanti ye bhagavata atmana satam.
Pibanti ye bhagavata atmana satam.
Katam ritam shravana pute susambritam. Punante te visaya vedusita sayam.
Punante te visaya vedusita sayam.
Vrajanti tatscharam nasarura hantikam.
Vrajanti tatscharam nasarura hantikam.
Pibanti.
Pibanti.
Who drink.
Drink.
Yea, those.
Those.
Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Admanaha.
Admanaha.
Of the most dear.
Of the most dear.
Sata.
Sata.
Of devotees.
Of devotees.
Katam vita.
Katam vita.
The nectar of the messages.
The nectar of the messages.
Shravana putisu.
Shravana putisu.
Within the ear holes.
Within the ear holes.
Sambrita.
Sambrita.
Fully filled.
Fully filled.
Punante.
Punante.
Purified.
Purified.
Te. There.
Yeah.
Visaya.
Visaya.
Material enjoyment.
Material enjoyment.
Vidusita sayam.
Vidusita sayam.
Polluted aim of life.
Polluted aim of life.
Vrajanti.
Vrajanti.
Do go back.
Do go back.
Ta.
Ta.
The Lord's.
The Lord's.
Charana.
Charana.
Feet.
Feet.
Sarurantika.
Sarurantika.
Near the lotus.
Near the lotus.
Transcendental. Oh, sorry. I missed translation. Started with the same. Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, with the beloved of the devotees, purify the polluted aim of life, known as material enjoyment, and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him, the personality of Godhead. Purport. The sufferings of human society are due to a polluted aim of life, namely lording it over the material resources. The more human society engages in the exploitation of undeveloped material resources for sense gratification, the more it will be entrapped by the illusory material energy of the Lord, and thus the distress of the world will be intensified instead of diminished. The human necessities of life are fully supplied by the Lord in the shape of food grains, milk, fruit, wood, stone, sugar, silk, jewels, cotton, salt, water, vegetables, etc., in sufficient quantity to feed and care for the human race of the world, as well as the living beings on each and every planet within the universe. The supply source is complete, and only a little energy by the human being is required to get his necessities through the proper channel. There is no need of machines and tools, of huge steel plants for artificially creating comforts of life. Life is never made comfortable by artificial needs, but by plain living and high thinking. The highest perfection of thinking for human society is suggested here by Sukadeva Goswami, namely, sufficient hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. For men in this age of Kali, when they have lost the perfect vision of life, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the torchlight by which to see the real path. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada has commented on the Katam Ritam mentioned in this verse and has indicated Srimad Bhagavatam to be the nectarian message of the personality of Godhead. By sufficient hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, the polluted aim of life, namely lording it over matter, will subside. And the people in general, in all parts of the world, will be able to live a peaceful life of knowledge and bliss. For a pure devotee of the Lord, any topics in relation with His name, fame, quality, entourage, etc., are all pleasing And because such topics have been approved by great devotees like Narada, Hanuman, Nandamaraj and other inhabitants of Vrindavan, certainly such messages are transcendental and pleasing to the heart and soul. And by the constant hearing of the messages of the Bhagavad Gita and later of Srimad Bhagavatam, one is assured herein by Srila Sukadeva Goswami that he will reach the personality of Godhead and render him transcendental loving service in the spiritual planet of the name Goloka Vrindavan, which resembles a huge lotus flower. Thus, by the process of Bhakti Yoga, directly accepted, as suggested in this verse, by sufficient hearing of the transcendental message of the Lord, the material contamination is directly eliminated, without once attempting to contemplate the impersonal Virat conception of the Lord. And by practicing Bhakti Yoga, if the performer is not purified from the material contamination, he must be a pseudo devotee. For such an impostor, there is no remedy for being freed from material entanglements. The essence in life is the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And such glorification cannot be done by one who is untrained. We need to learn how to glorify the Supreme Lord. Because if on our own, if it would be left up to us to approach the Supreme Lord, then it would be difficult. We might ask him sincerely to relieve our suffering or to please fulfill our desires. If we are a little more selfless, we may ask to fulfill the desires of so many others. But to really glorify the Supreme Lord means Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is a very deep and scientific glorification. It explains fully who the Supreme Lord is, how he exists in so many different features and energies. Parasya shakti vividaiva shruyate natat samas chabyadika. It is explained that the Lord is transcendental. The Lord is manifesting himself in many varieties of activities. There is no one like him. There is no one who can equal him. He is the one who is the source of endless manifestations. So Srimad Bhagavatam patiently explains that to us. It patiently begins to describe the science of the manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But not only is Srimad Bhagavatam explaining to us how everything is emanating from him. Srimad Bhagavatam makes us understand that in this world, the purpose of everything is to become God conscious. There is no other purpose in life, actually. Everything else we do, if it is not leading to God consciousness, then we are becoming unnecessarily distracted. So modern times, God consciousness is not exactly the main focus of modern society. That is for sure. Modern society, the main focus is trying to have a good time. And that's what it's all about. Have a good time, enjoy it in so many ways. And there is unlimited variety of that enjoyment, but it's all the same. After a while, one feels it's a variety of the same theme, and it's not really satisfying. Just another movie, just another party, just another trip, another holiday, another beach. It's all the same, right? I mean, you fly all around the world, right? to the same airports, right? All the airports are the same, sell the same things in the tax-free shops, same hotels, right? On the beach, right? With some palm trees, and that's it. It doesn't matter where you go, you know, it's just a different name every time, you know. One day it's Torremolinos, the next time it's somewhere in Africa, you know, then you go down under to the Gold Coast, and it's the same, right? It's all the same. Same beaches, same... The wave is a little different, but, you know, nowadays surfing is everywhere, right? Even in England they're surfing, and they're saying the surf in England is on par with the best in the world. It's ridiculous, you know, the surf in England, right? England is where it rains. England is where you want umbrellas. In England, you know, is the land of tea. That is not by chance. It means it's cold. It's cold. It's obvious, right? A place where everyone's into tea means it's cold. Yeah. In South India, everyone drinks Dobbs, you know, coconut juice, right? That's life, right? Straight from the tree. Before the British came there, no one ever thought of tea, you know. Right? Because it's a cold weather thing. So we are living in our different places, trying to enjoy and create so much variety, and create all kinds of things beyond comfort. Prabhupada is writing here about comfort, but we go beyond comfort. We go to the point of like trying to enjoy everything. Like in New York, you know, in the airport, in the chairs that they have for waiting for your flight, there is a little TV on the armrest, and you can put coins inside, you know, so that like that time that you have to wait, right, that terrible half hour that you have to sit there and wait, at least you can watch, you know, your own video, you know, something like that. All examples of how with machines we are trying to improve the quality of life. But the true quality of life has not improved through the use of all our modern amenities, computers, cars, telephones, and all these things. The real quality of life is found in the glorification of the Supreme Lord. And especially in the culture of hearing and chanting. It is related to the Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavat. Bhagavat includes both the chanting of Hare Krishna and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. These two are the essence of life. There is nothing more, actually. There is transcendental sound vibration and us. That's all there is in life. And everything else is just illusion. There is no... Whatever it may be, you know, whether it is the relationships we have with other human beings, or whether it is the relationship we have with objects in this world, without Bhagavatam and without the Holy Name, they're all just simply illusory. You know. There is nothing to find in there. Not even in our dearest family with, you know, all the nice relationships we have, if the chanting of Hare Krishna or the discussions of topics about Krishna, such as they are given in Srimad Bhagavatam, are not part of it, then we're wasting our life, actually. That's the bottom line. It sounds very rigid. To some it may sound extreme, right? But we'll see that at the time of death, actually the only useful moments we've had in our life will be related to either the chanting of the name of the Lord or the glorification of the fame, the pastimes and the qualities of the Lord, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, and nothing beyond. So therefore, civilization beyond animal existence means the Bhagavat. Right? It is measured how much the Bhagavat is part of life. Right? And there where the Bhagavat is not part of life, there is animal life. Yes. Polished animal life. But in the circus, the monkeys are also dressed up. And they also ride bicycles, and nowadays I'm sure monkeys... I didn't go to the circus for 30 years, so I'm sure nowadays you have monkeys driving around in little cars in the circus. You must have, come on, you know. And I'm sure there are little monkeys that call each other on mobile telephones also. It must be, right? It must be. Circus is also catching up, I'm sure. You know, it's not just monkeys on bicycles anymore. Those were different days. The days of the bicycle. So, in that way, we can appreciate that polished animal life is what is lived when there is no chanting of the holy name. So, that was normal for us. Right? Totally normal. We were all happy animals or unhappy animals, changing from day to day, and that we may not have so easily accepted. We might have taken some offense if it was told. But actually, after reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we realized that that is what we were, animals, not actually on the human platform of existence. The human platform of existence is quite exalted. And one should understand that in this present age, the age of Kali, the human beings have come down from their natural state to a subhuman state, and they are on par with the animals. But Srimad Bhagavatam brings back human values in society. It is sometimes difficult to understand. The first time I came in Sridhar Mayapur, it was in the late 70s, and I came by boat, and at the time there was not much development. And as I looked at the jungle on the side of the banks, you know, you kind of felt like, my God, we're really entering wilderness here. Right? I mean, being a Westerner, coming from a city, you know, you kind of feel we're really entering wilderness here. It wouldn't surprise me at all if any moment a tiger will pop its head around a palm tree, right? Anything is possible. Some aboriginals with spears, you know. I mean, I was ready for it all, right? Totally mentally prepared. But then I saw the little hutments of the aboriginals, right? Simple straw huts with some tile roofs. But everything was very nice and clean. And I saw that the ladies were smearing the ground every day with fresh clay, and that there was a nice bowl on a platform where the cow was being fed. And I saw that Tulasi was in the middle of the huts on a raised platform, and the people were worshipping and giving water. And actually it didn't look so tribal and so wild and so uncultured. And eventually we could see that actually life there was of a very high level of civilization. Something difficult to imagine for a New Yorker. When the New Yorker goes to India, you know, he makes sure he gets all his shots, he's got his pills, he takes, you know, a whole bunch of preventatives every other hour, just to make sure, you know, that he doesn't catch something. Right? The funny thing is, when someone from India goes to America, he also takes with him a whole survival kit. It's very interesting how they cross the Atlantic and how they each carry their survival goods, you know, and that they are convinced, you know, that without the safe things from home, that they can't survive. Personally, I'm on the side of India, I think that there's more chance to survive in India than in New York. You know, it's much more dangerous, New York. And I would definitely take all precautions going there, you know. Any traveler who wants to go to New York City can come and see me on the site, and I'll give you some tips, you know, of like what to avoid. In India, you can go anywhere, anytime, nothing much, any problem. And if you're lost, right, it's easy. One day, I was in Calcutta. Deep, dark Calcutta. It was dark, and, you know, in Calcutta, yeah, you always have to watch out because people steal the lids of the sewage chambers in the road, you know. So they steal them at night and sell the metal and, you know, maintain a family for 2 months of such a lid, you know. So you can not blame them, but you have to watch out because there's always a big hole somewhere you could drop in. So one eye is on the ground. The lighting doesn't work very much. And then I was looking at the houses, and there was a black hole in the wall, and then below it another black hole, a basement, like going down. And in both there were shops, right? And the whole street was like that, two layers of little shops, tiny little shops. You know, just one man can barely sit inside and get a whole bunch of goods and selling, two layers, right? So I was thinking, boy, where am I now? You know, I'm in the middle of like somewhere at the end of the world. And I was lost. I lost the way. So I totally lost the way there in Boston, Calcutta, a huge city. And I asked some people, and they said, oh, you are from ISKCON. You are from ISKCON. I have met your Swami Prabhupada. I have seen him. I have seen him. Yes. That's like he said, oh. My obeisances, is pranams, right? And they were very nice. They just, they personally brought me back to like a place which I knew so that I was able to find a way back. Right? So like that, in that place, I found that actually there were devotees everywhere. The Bhagavat, or Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said refers both to the devotee as well as to the book. A pure devotee is also called Bhagavat, and this holy scripture is also called Bhagavat, because a pure devotee has become a living Bhagavatam. He is always speaking about the Supreme Lord. The word Bhaga means fortunate, auspicious, that which gives good fortune. So the devotee, wherever he goes, he becomes a living well-wisher. We meet him where, and just by being in the presence of a devotee, we become uplifted. And wherever Srimad Bhagavatam is remembered and spoken, we also become uplifted. And wherever the holy name is chanted, we become uplifted. So, it improves the quality of life. It improves us. We become better persons. Bhagavatam exposes the bad qualities within us, right, and makes us aware of ourselves. Right. Through reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we begin to see that actually, I have a lot of shortcomings. And therefore Srimad Bhagavatam gives us a handle on ourselves and gives us the ability to improve. Right. Still, even if you have a handle on yourself, how can you improve? Right. It's not so easy. I mean, we are what we are, and we'd like to improve, do we? And maybe not even that. How do you even get the desire to improve? And even if you have the desire, right, then how to actually do it, even if you are aware of your shortcomings? But Srimad Bhagavatam also gives us strength. It gives us inspiration. It takes away material desires. It frees us from sinful desires. So this is a great liberation. We had so many desires. I oftentimes remember so many of my former sinful desires. And what can I say? So much trouble. I could not stay at home at 10 o'clock at night. And somehow or other, someone had given me this huge plant for my birthday. Big, you know, plant which was growing halfway across the room. And I thought that such a thing was far out and would impress the girls, actually. That's why I had it, you know. Because they like plants, you know. So my plan was, have this huge plant, right, to impress the girls, right? And they all come like to my room and go like, wow, such an amazing plant, you know. But this plant caused me so much distress, right? Because at night, the huge leaves were like hanging over my head, and I got paranoia from this plant. So I couldn't sleep from the plant, you know. Yes, sometimes the plant even drove me out of my house. Or maybe it was the girls. I don't know when it was, but then at 10 o'clock at night, I had to go out. Right? Now I don't have that problem at all. I don't have that, you know. Plans or no plans, right? First of all, I don't have to impress anyone anymore in that way. So I don't need plants in my room now. No, not such big ones at least. And I also don't need to go out at 10 o'clock at all. I want to go to bed. And I'm perfectly happy with that, right? And I don't mind it. It's not boring. I'm totally satisfied. Because one stops looking for satisfaction everywhere and anywhere. We simply become peaceful within. We become satisfied by hearing about Krishna. It takes a while. In the beginning, I was also amazed that devotees could just go on and on with this process of hearing about Srimad Bhagavatam. But it is very interesting. It is actually nice because we feel the result. You know, we feel that our life is getting better. It is improving. We become free from so many things. Free from strange plans. Free from strange plans, and free from trouble. Yes. Yes. It is said that mundane relationships don't work. Therefore, in Australia, when they ask you, how's your wife? They ask, how's the trouble and strife? Right? It's not that I'm here against the ladies, not at all, because, you know, the men are just the same. Right? They cause all the trouble. The real point is material relationships don't work. They don't work. Fundamentally, they don't work, no matter how we try. Right? And this is what it is. You know, this is like, this is marriage, right? I'm sorry to break the news and break the ice, or break the hopes and break the hearts. But what can I do? Right? We start with a great dream. Right? We start with a great dream that, yes, it's going to be, you know, violins playing and all those things, right? The whole orchestra and the whole symphony. Right? It's going to be a wonderful symphony, and it takes us years, you know, to try and make it work. And finally, after we, in our ripe age, we come to the conclusion that it doesn't, right? It really doesn't. Yeah? We can say, I'm so sorry. I know people don't like it when I say these things, but what can I do? This is actually Bhagavatam. Yeah? This is Bhagavatam. The whole fourth canto, well, not the whole fourth canto, but a good portion of the fourth canto is dedicated to it. Right? Not to speak of Yayati, you know, who was trying again and again. Right? If anyone tried again and again, it was him, because he got his youth back to give it one more try. And then it still didn't work. So Bhagavatam Also, there is a description in the fifth canto of the forest of material enjoyment. Not to speak of the seventh canto, which gives us also these descriptions about Prahlad Maharaj preaching to Hiranyakasipu. But when we come to the tenth canto, we see that the residents of Vrindavan are not all sannyasis and yogis. Right? No, they are not. They are just living ordinary village life. Men and women, children, cows, and living in their houses, not living like great, austere monks or yogis in God consciousness, but simply living a household life. But it was not their focus. Their focus was Krishna. Right? So that is our movement. Our movement is not the movement of renunciation. Right? We are not so renounced. Right? If you want to see people that are renounced, go to the Kumbh Mela and you can see people that are really renounced. I mean, incredible so renounced. We are not so renounced. But the residents of Vrindavan, right? They also are not in the mood of renunciation. They are in the mood of glorification. They are in the mood of Bhagavatam. They are in the mood of always speaking about Krishna. What did Krishna do? Or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in this way, we try to understand what is Krishna doing. And Krishna? Krishna is wonderful. We can talk about Krishna, we can talk about his qualities, we can talk about his pastimes, right? We can talk about his form and so many things. Or we can simply chant his name. And then the qualities, the form, the pastimes of the Lord will also manifest automatically. Talking about the qualities of Krishna, one of the qualities in Krishna that appeals to me very much is described in the Nectar of Devotion, where the 64 qualities of Krishna are listed, and number 17 is Krishna is grateful. Right. And that is very nice. And it is described there how Draupadi was in that awkward position. Draupadi was the wife of the Pandavas, who were Kshatriyas, and Kshatriyas, whenever they're challenged, they cannot refuse a challenge because otherwise they look like a coward. And a Kshatriya is a warrior and he cannot tolerate such a thing. You know, you challenge him, he'll take you up. Heavy dudes. Don't mess with a Kshatriya. Unless you're one yourself. And even then, you know, risky business. So, Kshatriyas sometimes also used to challenge each other to a gambling game. Right? And even such a challenge they couldn't refuse. So it is said that once such a challenge was given to the Pandavas and they lost everything in this gambling game, even to the point where they had to even put their wife as the wager in that gambling match, and they lost their wife also in gambling. So it's pretty bad, right? When you go to the casino and you lose, you take your wife, put your wife on the roulette table, you know, spin it around. The big rake comes, pulls her in, right? Pretty bad, right? But it's they lost their wife. And then the Kurus who had won the wife were trying to publicly disrobe her by pulling off the cloth. But, and what did she do? Well, first she tried to hold on, but what could she do? So then she just threw her hands up in the sky and said, "Hey Govinda," she called out the name of Krishna. And Krishna says that, he said, "Whatever I remember, how Draupadi just called out my name and surrendered to me," he says, "then my heart melts." It was shown that Krishna's heart melted because Krishna, he gave her unlimited length of sari, right? And the whole palace just filled up with cloth. Now, this is just one sari, just pulling off the cloth, and everywhere, mountain of cloth all over the place, right? Just pulling. Anyway, so this is the famous and glorious story of Draupadi. And it is said that whenever Krishna remembers how Draupadi took shelter of him in such a difficult situation, right, just took shelter of him, then Krishna becomes grateful in his heart. And his appreciation is increasing, it says. Every time he thinks of that, he feels so much appreciation, and each time his appreciation gets more and more and more. Now Krishna, he's got a perfect memory, he remembers everything eternally. So we can understand that his appreciation is growing eternally. So in the Bhagavad Gita, we have that famous verse, Neha vikramo nasa stipat javayana vichyate svapam apyasyata nasyudrayate mahato vayat. That verse is sometimes referred to as the spiritual bank balance verse. It is the verse where it is said that whatever little bit of devotional service you do, it is never lost. It goes in a spiritual bank balance, and later on you pick up there. Now, this statement of the nectar of devotion can be linked with that verse because it is describing the interest that you get. So it's like, not only is there a spiritual bank balance, but there is also a very good interest rate. The interest rates are very, very good, you know, very high, very high. They are unlimited. Unlimited interest. So that is pretty good, I would say. Where do you get an offer from a bank like that? So if you want to invest your savings in any bank, then go for the spiritual bank balance, right? Because you get unlimited interest. You can't lose. But this is actually endearing. So the reason why I chose this quality of Krishna is because it shows how Krishna is wonderful. He is appreciative. He is very appreciative. He's not just the Supreme Lord who is kind of blessings, 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 bless, bless, bless on all, bless, bless on you too, bless. Be thou blessed, bless. And be thou punished if thou is not surrendering to me. Punished. Floods, rain, house floating away. Repent, O sinner, and thou canst be saved. And while you sit on the roof of your house, you pray, and then, you know, through the clouds, a little light comes through, you know, the light beams shine in all directions. God! This is not all there is to it. There is more. It is more refined. That is a gross understanding. But by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, our understanding about the Supreme Lord becomes more refined, and we understand that He is unlimitedly appreciative. The slightest little thing, man. He appreciates more and more and more, and he reciprocates with it. Therefore, anyone who renders a little service once is accepted by the Lord as a devotee. And the Lord just showers blessings on him. Showers. So here we are living in the world of blessings. So this movement came, it is the arrangement of Krishna that this movement came to the West. There is no doubt about it. It came to bless everyone. It came to somehow or other revolutionize our life. It is said that it started from Mayapur. And in Mayapur, sometimes there is flood! 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 And I've went through this, and in the middle of the night at about 1:30, I was in deep sleep, and I first heard the bear! The bear! There was a bear in those days in Mayapur, in a zoo. The bear is loose. The bear was loose? One thirty,
the bear is loose.
Anyway, too bad for the bear, you know. And I rolled over on the other side, you know. And then they said, flood, flood, flood. Flood, flood, what is this? And I lived on the ground floor, you know. So I had the good sense then to think, well, maybe have a look, you know. A little careful, because it was thinking, watch out for the bear. So carefully open the door, you know. I lose next moment, bear inside. So I was careful, and I looked, and indeed there was water. It just looked like there had been a big rain, and, you know, just everything was on the water. But I had a look, and I looked at the wall, and I saw that it was slowly coming up, and in about 10 minutes, 10 centimeters, you know, centimeter. It was coming up, so it's like, well, and that left us with another 30 centimeters to about my floor level. So I was thinking, well, that's about half an hour. God. Half an hour, flood. And grant whatever I was attached to, you know, a few machines, you know, my tape recorder, you know, my, didn't have a computer in those days. My Bhagavatam, grab the Bhagavatam, definitely. My books, my rare books, you know, like, oh God. All upstairs, anyway. So, and everything was flood, you know. For 6 weeks we were sitting in the flood. 2 meters of water, yeah, that's what it was. But it was fun also. We were going with boats to the villages and distributing prasada. It was exciting, you know, a little boating. So I didn't mind that much, you know. I used to have a boat before I was a devotee, so I was one of the few that was allowed to go with Jai Pataka Maharaj's speedboat, you know. So it's pretty good, yeah. He immediately went to Calcutta, bought this speedboat, and I was I didn't mind that flood so much. Playing with the machine. But if we read in the scriptures what that actually means.
It said when it floods in Mayapur, it's an indication that the whole world will flood with love of God.
And it's happening. It's happening. Belgium is already flooding. Yes, it's going under right now. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya is putting on the water. Well, Holland, everyone's ready. Right? Everyone is always ready to be flooded. You know? You grow up with that, you know. In Holland, everyone, babies learn to swim, you know. Everyone's got a swimming diploma, a couple, you know, because you know, one day you might need it, you know, just about. That's an important thing. Yeah. If, when you're Dutch, Dutch means duck, you know, swim. let the water come, you know. Yeah. We're ready. Some people have a life raft on in the top of their house. You know, they do. You know, they're ready. You know. Open the window. And there we go. You know. But this flood is of a different nature. This is the flood of love of God. And the tricky thing is, in the beginning, it doesn't really look like so much water. It was just like that flood in my pool. It just looked like a rain, you know, just like it rained. But it wasn't exactly like that. Yeah, it was really going under. So
the same thing with this Sankirtan movement, the movement of Bhagavad Katha,
of the discussion of the glorification of Krishna. That's what this movement is about, the movement of chanting Hare Krishna. I also started, you know, looking at those guys in the street, Hare Krishna, Krishna, in their bed sheets, and I also pointed at my forehead. Look at them, you know, like, totally fanatic. Out of this world. They must be from another planet. A dangerous sect. And I also laughed. But now it's changed. Now I'm also submerged in the transcendental sound vibration. And everyone, the rest of the world, will also become submerged. There's no doubt about it. So it's wonderful. And we've come here for that purpose.
This is a festival. And the purpose of this festival is really that. Right? The purpose of this festival is not to eat pizza and French fries or...
But the purpose of this festival is to get spiritually uplifted. It is a spiritual festival. And the main thing is... the hearing and the chanting, that is the substance. That will make us, right, totally enlightened.
Then, if we've gone through that for 2 days, then we feel surcharged and we feel new enthusiasm and new life.
And that is the purpose of this festival. That we all come together and become enthused and become and feel enlivened and get a transcendental taste. So therefore, I tried to set the kind of the stage, and set the scene, just like the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called setting the scene. So I tried to set the scene for this summer festival and open it up with the glorification of the Bhagavat and the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it will be a nice summer festival if we keep that in mind. And this year, summer has also come to the festival, huh? So that makes it extra nice. So in that way, I think the stage is set for having a wonderful weekend. With that, I'll stop. Thank you for listening. If there are any questions?
It's not a question, it's just that you've said everything.
I said everything.
We just kind of
dumbfound.
We just dumbfound.
Ecstatic symptoms. I've become like stunned. Statues just sitting there, can't move. Right? Just like so overwhelmed. Well,
I think that what I really did was kind of, in words, taking the book off the shelf. I didn't even open it yet. I didn't say much about the Bhagavatam itself. But I think today we'll get it in different ways, in plays, etc., or in the chanting, or in just hearing other discussions with devotees. So I think that I haven't said anything yet, but I think everything will be said in the next few days. The glorification of Krishna and his pure devotees.
All right, thank you very much. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki
jai.
Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. And Srila Prabhupada ki jai.